Welcome back to Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. I'm Emmett Golden alongside Jonathan Hood. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all of our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance line. You can always tweet the 1-800-Flowers.com Twitter feed at TweetJHood. That's Jonathan Hood. I'm at EGoldie80, and you can give us a call at 888-729-3776. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Best phones, best networks, no contracts. So, Jay Hood, man, the first round, with the exception of Denver and San Antonio, these series have been blowouts. And you look at what is setting up in the second round with the Bucks versus the Celtics. And, you know, right now the Bucks are leading Detroit 88-84 with 2.5 minutes left in the third quarter. So that's a close one. They're looking to close it out and book their ticket to the second round against the Boston Celtics. And then in the Western Conference, it looks like it's going to be the Golden State Warriors in the Houston Rockets. Are those two series possibly better than anything we're going to see in the NBA Finals this year?
Well, I think that would be more entertaining is to see the Golden State Warriors play the Golden State Warriors, because that's the only team that could beat them. They could beat themselves. And we saw this in the regular season where they make mistakes and pointing of the fingers between Draymond Green and Kevin Durant and Durant's heel turn. So I think that I can't say that that's all that we'll see that's entertaining, because we haven't seen the next level yet. We don't know what the Eastern Conference Finals will bring. But I will tell you this, that what we're seeing right now with you know, we're seeing with San Antonio and Denver is very interesting. I think that Portland in that series against Oklahoma City, even though it could be done, but by the time you blink your eyes, it's still compelling. So, Goldie, here's what we see here with the NBA, because what we see here is that we know the Golden State Warriors are the best that's going. I think there's no question about that. And, right. And every team that starts winning championships has their run. The entirety of the league is about dynasties. You don't get a lot of one-offs when it comes to the NBA Finals champions. Mm-hmm. It's usually like, as soon as you win, okay, here's your run. Whether it's two games or two championships with the Pistons, six with the Bulls, the run for the Lakers, run for the Celtics, run for Houston back-to-back. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's the way the league has been for generations. And so for me, every game is somewhat interesting to me, only because I want to see what's next. You and I both know that Golden State is going to win the championship, but I'm still intrigued to find out what's next. And someone's got to emerge. In a LeBron-less East, it's still compelling for me, because we might see what Giannis Antetokounmpo and that group against Boston will be interesting as well. So for me, even though I know what the ending is, I'm also focused on the future when it comes to the league.
Yeah, I won't be as excited for the conference finals as I will be these two second round matchups. That's really, you know, my thing is, I feel like mentally, even though I'll watch and I'll, you know, pay attention to it, I'll mentally need a break there, because if Houston doesn't beat Golden State, I don't know who can. You know, I don't think anyone can. And then in the East, you know, I want to see Boston and Milwaukee at the end. That's the team I want to see. Now, I think Toronto may be able to come out of the East. I think people are kind of sleeping on them, because they just, I don't know, they're not a loud type team. They're not grabbing a bunch of headlines, although I would be interested to see what they would do against either Boston or Milwaukee. But man, that is that Boston-Milwaukee matchup. That's the Eastern Conference Finals that I wanted. And once that happens, I think you're going to lose some juice in the playoffs, because then it just like, all right, we saw the climax of the playoffs, because everybody knows that the Golden State Warriors are going to win this thing.
My man, look, we can't beat around the bush on this. You know what's happening here.
What's that?
You and I have to cope watching the NBA playoffs without LeBron.
Man,
it's different, but it, like, whatever you
you're
thought,
opening up wounds for me, Jonathan.
That's just what it is. I mean, as an NBA guy, I know this. It's different. It's a different experience whether you are for LeBron or against LeBron. At least he was compelling. And so white hat, black hat, doesn't matter. LeBron James on the floor made things better. The television ratings were down in the NBA. And that's hard. It's a hard sentence for me to say because I am someone that loves to talk about the NBA and props it up because I enjoy the league. But the numbers were down because a lot of the stars are out west, and people look at those New York numbers and the East Coast numbers, and the league is trying to push Giannis Antetokounmpo, push Kyrie Irving, push Kawhi Leonard into that LeBron spot, and it's just not the same. And so it's always going to feel uneven this year. Because LeBron, not only did he miss time with the Lakers, but also out in the West on a team that didn't mean much with the Lakers. And so this is why there's holes in our playoff viewing, because there is no LeBron to root for or root against. So it's a different experience for Silver in the league.
He's Jonathan Hood. I'm Emmett Golden. This is Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. And I think the other thing is, you felt like if anybody had a chance to beat Golden State, it was LeBron. And obviously, he did it once, even coming down, being down 3-1 to them in 2016. You knew, okay, he did it. So even the years the Cavs just got crushed in the finals, you still thought maybe there was a possibility. I don't believe in anybody in the Eastern Conference. As far as when it comes to beating the Golden State Warriors, I really don't believe in the Rockets. I'm just praying. You know, I'm just praying that they can beat the Golden State Warriors. Yeah, just want to see something different, and also want to see what the reaction would be for the Golden State Warriors if they lost in the second round. Could you imagine that? Can you imagine if the Golden State Warriors, who just, they've been playing all season, just, man, we got to get to the finals, man, we got to get to the finals. If they lose in the second round of the playoffs, there'll be a lot of finger pointing going on around.
But you know what? And you know what? I won't say that's good for the league, but you know, everyone's.
Be good for me.
Well, everyone's dynasty comes to an end. Everyone's dynasty ends. Yep. It ends. And so, like I said, when the Warriors beat themselves, which I saw a number of times during the regular season, it's not pretty because there's a lot of finger pointing, then there's a lot of blaming of the media and all that. And so, you know, I think that even with the Clipper game, in which the Clippers beat them once already in this series, you saw the formula. Like, they can, like, the Warriors can be up 28, 30 points. And then all of a sudden the shots don't fall. And then you get into Kevin Durant's head and all those things. But it's so difficult because they got so many talented superstars in the team. But at some point, there's going to be, that dynasty will end and we will see someone new. It will be Houston. It'll be someone else. I want to circle back to what you said about Toronto, because you mentioned that there might be some people sleeping on Toronto. Well, like, we're trying to figure out, like, what did we learn from the Celtics? All right. So what did we learn from Toronto in this series against the Magic? Not like you learned that the Magic were in the playoffs.
Right.
I learned that, and I knew this in the regular season, but it's really emerged now that, Kyle Lowry is, just another guy.
He's a Jag?
Ooh, yeah, he's just another guy. And on this team, because how is it that it's the combination, the 1-2 punch of DeRozan and Lowry, and now your third banana behind Siakam and Leonard? How did that happen?
Would you even put him behind Gasol?
That's a good question.
Yeah, would you put him behind Gasol?
Seriously, dude, this is your place. This is your gym. This is your team. Even with DeRozan off of it, with him being in San Antonio, and now you got to go take a back seat to new dudes. Like, Siakam is a terrific young player that we haven't seen the best of as of yet. Right. Kawhi Leonard, we know Kawhi is either there for a cup of coffee or there for 4 or 5 years. Either way, he's playing terrific basketball. So terrific. I don't know why we keep putting these people on ESPN. Mm-hmm. Why do we keep putting these people on? So Kendrick Perkins said Kawhi reminds me of Michael Jordan. Did you see that today?
I missed it. I didn't see that. Man, why do we keep just running out of stuff to say?
Oh, my God. Like, what? Kawhi reminds me of MJ. Like okay. from where? Like, over, like, to the side, his ear? Like,
MJ,
his chin
never
line?
Had cornrows.
Like, what are you talking about? Like, why do we put these people on? Like, okay. Yeah. So Kendrick Perkins, and he was apparently in studio, not from somebody's bench, said that Kawhi reminds me of Michael Jordan, so he must be terrific.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. If there's one thing that I think, the one reason I think Toronto was kind of sneaky, I mean, the additions that they made and the fact that LeBron is not in the East anymore because he was like Debo. You know, they just couldn't get over that. All right, we got to hear from the man himself. Here's Kendrick Perkins on Get Up on why Kawhi reminds him of MJ.
This may sound crazy, but Kawhi Leonard reminds me of Michael Jordan. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not comparing him to Mike, but if you watch the way he plays, his style, the way he plays the game on both ends, he can have a game that mimics Michael Jordan. He's not all the way fancy. He gets to his spots. He got nice turnarounds, big hands, palm the ball. And on the defensive end, like, he's probably the best in the game.
I'm gone.
I'll see you later.
Yeah, that is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks while Jonathan Hood composes himself. Coming up next, Steve Kerr finds Russell Westbrook's no comment treatment of Barry Trammell dangerous. Is Steve out of place for even getting involved? We'll talk about that. It's Emmett Golden and Jonathan Hood. You're listening to Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
We put him on.
You wouldn't settle for a 2-star spin class or personal trainer, would you? So why settle for a bank that treats you just like another number? Ally knows you deserve better, and their mission is to be just that. And with Ally Bank, you'll get interest rates up to 20 times the national average. You can chat with real people 24/7, and they won't nutmeg you with hidden fees. Ally's team actually cares about doing right by you and your money. So go to ally.com for more. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
Welcome back to Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Emmett Golden alongside Jonathan Hood. And Jay Hood, there's some beef going on in Oklahoma between Barry Trammell of the Oklahoman and Russell Westbrook. Let's hear the exchange between the two this weekend.
Russell, the first half, both teams struggled offensively. It was sort of a slug of a game. Both teams got going in the second half. What happened that sort of reversed the tone of this game?
Next question.
Yeah, Russ, the fourth quarter, you got a 15-point lead. They catch up. What happened the last 6, 7, 8 minutes that reversed the momentum and let you guys burst back away?
Next question.
So, Jay, I struggle with this because I know that athletes have the right to answer the questions however they want to. And there's one thing I can't stand more than anything in the media, in this business that we're in, are bad questions. When people ask bad questions at a press conference and when they get bad answers, I usually go like, hey, that's what you get for not being prepared. That wasn't the situation here, though. I thought Barry asked a question that made sense. It was topical. And for Russ to just dismiss him with a next question and then ignore the actual next question. I think at a certain point, whatever issues they have between each other, like Russ has to let that go. It is the NBA playoffs.
This is an Adam Silver problem. It's an Adam Silver problem. And I know that Adam Silver is a player friendly commissioner. And I think that he's done a lot of things that are right. We are celebrating 4 or 5 years since they removed the owner from the LA Clippers and put someone else new in that spot. So Adam's done a lot of good things in the league. But Adam is got to be able to step in and demand for players to be able to speak their mind because it's a business. Mm-hmm. Because the idea that you're just going to shut one guy down and be petty is not good for the league. You know, what you want is for your players to be somewhat likable. You're not going, listen, this is 2019. People will hate you just because you're breathing. I totally understand that. But in the NBA, when it's a business, you want to be able to have those press conference, post-game or pre-game comments because, you know, the player and the media are conduits to the fans, both. they work in conjunction to be able to feed information to the fan.
Right.
And I think that Adam Silver has to be able to do a better job here of being able to get the, you know, Russell Westbrook, Paul George, whomever, to be able to speak to the media, because when he speaks to the media, you're speaking to the fans. Next question is not going to get it done. If you play well, if you play poorly, you have to be a professional, and that's mm-hmm. unprofessional behavior.
Next question.
Now, does his consistency make it better or worse? Because Russell has been known to cut press conferences short, to get smart. Does it make it better or for worse that is kind of who Russell is when it comes to dealing with the media, that this wasn't a one-time thing?
No, I think that it's still wrong whether or not that's the way he does things or not. I mean, mm-hmm. it's not right. I mean, and it's not about good or bad questions. It's just about how he feels at the time. The team loses, the team wins, he wants to suck on ice. I mean, the media is just trying to find out how you feel about the game. If you mm-hmm. don't want to speak, then maybe it'll speak to your pocketbook. Maybe it'll speak to your wallet. Because it doesn't make sense for someone that is a top 10 player in this league that has a lot of time. Again, being in Oklahoma City in that market still has national appeal. People want to know about what he thinks and how he feels and where the team's going. So for him not to speak, I think is wrong. That's wrong for any athlete, but definitely him, because he's got a lot of spotlight on him and his team.
Next question.
He's Jonathan Hood. I'm Emmett Golden. This is Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Now, this is the dangerous thing. I want to bring up Steve Kerr, because Steve Kerr kind of jumped in this, and I want to bring that up in just a second. But you said, you know, talk with his pocketbook. If they start to fine guys for not talking to the media, or not answering questions, then do you end up with what happened with Marshawn Lynch at the Super Bowl, where every answer is, I'm only here so I won't get fined? Is that a slippery slope? You know, I don't know if you can really make guys talk, because if they don't want to give you an answer, they're not going to give you an answer. They'll give you something, and I don't know if something is better than nothing.
I think he should, but I mean, okay, so it's two ways to look at it. Yes, you can be able to fine guys. To be able to, because again, in this business, it is a privilege to be playing in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, because you have a team, because you have a league that you're representing, if that's how you want to represent yourself, I think that you can find ways for him to represent it better. And I think that there's nothing wrong with that. I just think that kind of pettiness is just silly. It does nothing for the Thunder. And also for Billy Donovan as well. Billy Donovan's not going to say anything. I mean, he really looks afraid to do anything.
And he can't. He can't, because let's keep it real. Russell Westbrook will probably be there longer than he will. So what can he do? Well, you're not going to bench Russell Westbrook during the playoffs because he didn't answer a reporter's question.
No, but there's a conversation that can be made. That's called leadership, Emmett. Mm-hmm. And he could be able to provide that. Now, you're right. He can't make him do anything. But let's hear from Steve Kerr, because I think he puts a really good perspective on it.
Yeah, and Steve Kerr, what he said was the no comment treatment of Barry Trammell from Russell Westbrook is dangerous. And I want to know, was he asked the question or did he interject that? Because that it'll factor strongly into what I think. If he was asked about it, I don't have any problem with him answering the question, right? Because that's what this is all mm-hmm. about, people answering the questions. Now, if he just grabbed everybody and said, yo, I need to say something, Steve, it ain't really your place. You know, so I'm not sure if evidently he was asked about it. So being asked about it, I have no problem with him answering the question, because if we want Russell Westbrook to answer questions, then I think Steve Kerr has to answer as well.
Yeah. I think Steve has a pulse of things, because actually in his comments that he made, he might have been talking about Kevin Durant and his team as well, as far as dealing with the media. So even though you might have been talking about Oklahoma City, he probably was kind of in some ways talking about KD and the way he deals with the media as well, which is not always great.
Yeah. Hey, we know Russell won't answer questions, but Barry Trammell will. We will talk to him coming up next. This is Freddie and Fitzsimmons. I'm Emmett Golden alongside Jonathan Hood on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Next question.
Hi there, Julie Foudy here. ESPN was silly enough to give me the green light on a podcast, and it's called Laughter Permitted, We talk to these awesome trailblazers in sports about the joy and chaos of life, such as Kerry Walsh Jennings, Simone Biles, Mia Hamm. So get comfortable listening. Laughter permitted. And so is Beth singing. Support for Laughter Permitted comes from Ally. You wouldn't settle for a two-star spin class or personal trainer, would you? So why settle for a bank that treats you just like another number? Ally knows you deserve better, and their mission is to be just that. And with Ally Bank, you'll get interest rates up to 20 times the national average. You can chat with real people 24/7, and they won't nutmeg you with hidden fees. Ally's team actually cares about doing right by you and your money. So go to ally.com for more. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
That's a good question. Not sure.
The NBA may have an increasing player behavior problem.
Sure, their PR people aren't pumped about this.
No. They can have a few guys who are sort of jerks. They can be the heel. You can't have dozens of them.
Next question.
It just seems that the NBA, that they've been a little bit soft on this stuff.
Welcome back to Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. I'm Emmett Golden alongside Jonathan Hood, and ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new home quote, explore, only at Progressive.com. It's time to head out to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line and talk to Barry Trammell of the Oklahoman. How you doing, Barry?
I'm all right. Just landed in Portland.
Okay, good. Glad you got there safely. Barry, everybody's been talking about the interaction between yourself and Russell Westbrook over the weekend. Where did all this start? Is there a history or was there an incident that kind of started all this between you two?
Oh, yeah. It goes back several years, really. 3 or 4 years ago, Russell, just out of the blue, when he was sort of being non-cooperative with the press, really not answering questions. And I asked him, it wasn't just me, it was any question from anybody. I asked him what was wrong. He said, I just don't like you. So since then, there have been a few incidences. And then in January, he got upset with me. And since January, he hasn't responded to any of my questions. So it's become acute here in the last 3 months, but it's sort of been going on for 3 or 4 years.
Well, Barry, how difficult is it for you to do your job effectively when you get these non-responses from not only Russell, but also from Paul George?
Yeah, you know, Paul made a bad decision the other night because he wasn't really, he legitimately didn't want to talk about, you know, he was asked, it wasn't me, somebody else asked him about the dunk at the buzzer in the game 3 that they won. He legitimately didn't want to talk about it. I think he probably felt a little sheepish about Duncan. And he didn't really want to talk about it. And then he sort of used Russell's line, next question. And that sort of brought him into Russell's camp. And it's probably not where he wanted to be. As far as doing my job, the Thunder's never been, you know, Casey Stengel or somebody. I mean, there's not a lot of great quotes on this team. They're pretty secluded, well, media-wise. So it's not like when Russell Westbrook won't answer my questions, it's not like I'm being deprived of some great insight. He doesn't give anybody a good answer. It's just that he gives me no answer. I just decided that I was going to keep asking just to let him know that he doesn't get to control the media policies, of the press corps. That's sort of where I was coming from. I had no aspirations that I was going to change him or anything, but I just wanted to send the message that, hey, we're still going to be here asking questions no matter what you guys might do.
You're listening to Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. I'm Emmett Golden alongside Jonathan Hood. Barry Trammell of the Oklahoman is our guest. Barry, do you think this is a situation where the head coach or maybe even the commissioner needs to get involved to just so players stop doing things like going next question just because they have some type of issue with one of the media members that covers the team?
Well, I don't think the coach can do anything. Not in Oklahoma City, maybe Popovich or somebody, maybe Steve Kerr, I don't know, somebody with, you know, Billy Donovan has a hard enough time just getting these guys to do what he wants to on the court, much less off the court. But it does. You do raise a great question about the league office. You know, somebody last night at the game told me this would never happen if David Stern was still the commissioner. He would not have letting it gotten this far. The theory is that Adam Silver is too soft on the players. He lets the players sort of carte blanche, do whatever they want. David Stern would have nipped this in the bud. I had quite a few dealings with David Stern, but I never had anything like this. I don't know what he would have done. I can tell you that, you know, cracking Russell Westbrook is a difficult assignment. Getting Russ to do something he doesn't want to do is not easy. So even if somebody wants to change this, there's no great reason to think they can. With all that said, I think something did happen with Russ last night because he did quit saying next question. He didn't really answer my questions, but he did at least give a non-answer, and he did it in what I considered sort of a pleasant tone. You know, part of the next question problem was he says it with such disgust and disdain that it's, you know, most people would consider it disrespectful. We're sort of used to it in Oklahoma City. But that was not the case last night. He was much more pleasant sounding. And to me, that was a positive step in maybe reconciliation of this to wherever it's going to get. So I think somebody got to him. I don't know if it's his wife, his agent, the league. Somebody said this has gone too far. When Steve Kerr speaks out and says this is not good, this is potential danger for the league, I think that gets everybody's attention. Because the players have a lot of respect, I think, for Steve Kerr. He's a player's coach. He was a player. And when he starts saying, hey, this is not good, then I think it gives everybody pause to think, hey, this needs to be rectified.
Barry, if Oklahoma City falls short against Portland in this series and loses the series, can you pinpoint what the biggest problem would be if they underachieve here?
Yeah, you know what? They've got a good roster. Some would say they've got a very good roster. And it fits together well, but it's just a little bit mistimed. This team doesn't shoot well enough to contend at a high level in the Western Conference. And 6 years ago, they probably would have been fine. But in the last 3 or 4 years, everybody knows that we've got a new age of long-range shooting, of three-point balls, of relaxed or intensified officiating on defense. They make it very hard on the defense anymore. If you can't score in today's game, you're going to struggle because the other team is going to score. And this Thunder team is just light on offense. Westbrook doesn't score the way he used to. Paul George can score at the highest levels, but he's been hurt and has not played well for 2 months. There's not much shooting off the bench. There's not much creation outside of Dennis Schroeder among the role players. It's just not a really good offensive team. And when you're playing Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum or James Harden and the Houston gang or the Warriors, you're going to have to score. You can't. You're not going to win 101-97. That's not the way the game is played anymore. Thunder's been under 100 points 3 of the 4 games. You can't win that way in the West. And so they got to figure out a way in the offseason to increase the offensive firepower. The payroll is sky high. They're locked in. It's going to be difficult, but that's what they've got to do.
Barry, Emmett and I were talking about the Thunder as a team earlier in the show and just trying to figure out whether or not the door is still ajar for their championship aspirations because as we see Russell Westbrook with the ball in his hands a lion's share of the time, and you're talking about shooting percentages, you know, if he's not shooting over 30-35% from three, it's just not a team that can be considered upper echelon. Do you feel that the championship window is open? How much open is it for the Thunder at this point?
Well, it's not very open because of the reasons we've discussed. Now, if Durant will leave the Warriors, it opens up for everybody because it's right now the door is not open for much of anybody. Houston's got a chance. They showed that last year. They're capable. they appear capable this year. But nobody else has much of a chance. So even if, you know, even if this Thunder team was rocking along at the level everyone hoped it would, the title was sort of a mirage. But next season potentially would have been really a chance for the Thunder to contend. But without any offense, that's not going to happen. So you're right about the age. George turns 30. He'll be 30 next year. Westbrook will be 31. They don't have a lot of prime years left, and the offense is getting worse instead of better. So it's looking like the window is closed. They need to find, you know, some sort of magic out of Sam Presti and find a player or two that can really increase that offense. And if they did that, you know, then they might be in there battling. But like I said, I mean, they're going to pay a luxury tax of $65 million. They've got the second or third highest payroll in the league. Their team is pretty set contractually. They don't have much space, so that's going to be very hard to upgrade this roster.
Hey, Barry, we really appreciate you spending some time with us this evening. Thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
Glad to do it.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen, Barry Trammell of the Oklahoman. To give everybody a quick update here, the Milwaukee Bucks have beat the Detroit Pistons 127-104, and they head to the second round of the NBA playoffs where they'll face the Boston Celtics.
Next question. That is 14 straight playoff losses for the Detroit Pistons. That is an NBA record. So from their standpoint, yes, it was good. I think that there is a good feeling for Detroit for them to just to get in the postseason. But then when you don't scratch, 14 straight playoff losses for them, which is an NBA record, is pretty brutal. But on the other side, there's Milwaukee with Giannis Antetokounmpo and that group. They have done a terrific job all regular season, and Budenholzer has a terrific team. Going back to our Trammell conversation, I'm sure, Emmett, that Barry Trammell doesn't want to be the story here. He'd rather just be the reporter that's locked in, that's kind of doing his thing as a reporter. But Russell Westbrook has made him a story. And actually the story is the underachievement of Oklahoma City if they lose one more time against Portland.
Yeah, then there's another story going on in the NBA, a weird one at that. The Cavs, are they interested in Rick Pitino? We will talk about that coming up next. You're listening to Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
I didn't see that on my rundown.
At Delta, we fly to 300 cities around the world. That's 300 cities where everyone does the same things you do. That's 300 cities where people think they're the only ones who know about that one place. 300 cities where people miss someone in one of our other 299 cities. 300 cities where people sing in the car or the shower or both poorly. And Delta isn't flying to 300 cities merely to bring us together, but to show us we're not that far apart in the first place. Delta, keep climbing.
Back to Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. I'm Emmett Golden alongside Jonathan Hood. We'll talk about Rick Pitino and the Cavs coming up here in a little bit, but there is breaking news. There is a new lawsuit that alleges that new Sacramento Kings coach Luke Walton sexually assaulted a woman sometime before he was named the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers in April of 2016. The lawsuit, first reported by TMZ and confirmed by the Los Angeles Times, alleges that Kelly Tennant, a former host of Spectrum Sportsnet LA, a Lakers regional sports network, received an unwanted physical advance by Walton at a Santa Monica hotel. The suit alleges that Tennant, who had a working relationship with Walton stemming from his time as a guest analyst on Spectrum, and they met inside his room. And I also, you know, want to point out that this is a civil lawsuit, and we are not aware of any criminal charges at this time, and all of these points are allegations up to this point. The Kings have released a statement, and in the statement it says, we are aware of the report and are gathering additional information. We have no further comment at this time. Man, Jay Hood, what do you make of it? What do you make of all this?
I think anybody that will make of this as something that's surprising, mm-hmm. and We have to find out more information about it, obviously. But we just look at someone here, and I was familiar with the name Kelly Tennant because of her work on doing television in Los Angeles. So I'm familiar with that name. So this story is surprising, and you think about just from a basketball standpoint, Luke Walton being the coach for the Los Angeles Lakers and on the street for what, maybe a week or two, then is maybe even less than that, and becomes the head coach for the Sacramento Kings. And so a number of things that crossed my mind. The Kings are investigating what's going on with this story. I don't know when we'll be able to get some kind of knowledge of really what happened there, but I'm just wondering from the Kings standpoint how they look at things, because as they try to keep their organization going, do they look at Luke Walton and say, okay, let's put the brakes on this until we find out more information?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Also want to point out that team sources told ESPN's Ramona Shelburne that the alleged incident occurred well before Walton joined the Lakers, and no one ever reported it to the team, and that is not that's not why the team parted ways with Walton. I do wonder how the Kings are going to handle this, and they have to be careful. At this point, you know, it's a civil suit. There are allegations. There have been no criminal charges filed up to this point that we are aware of. So, you know, do they react and fire him after only, you know, him being around for a few weeks, or do they wait until, you know, more information comes out? And in this climate, it's dangerous both ways, right? Because if, you know, they do fire him and part ways, and maybe there's information that clears Walton of this, then it looks like they jumped the gun and they didn't give him a fair shot. But if they wait around and more information comes out, and this, you know, is believed to be true, now they look like they drag their feet. I don't envy them right now, because they're in a lose-lose situation. I don't know how they can handle this correctly.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we just have to wait to find out more information. I'm seeing the story in multiple sources. Of course, ESPN has it, but I've seen it in multiple places as well, where it's a little bit more detailed. And and again, we just have to continue to see that story. All I'm thinking about is, you know, what happened in that situation, what is going to be the result of this, and then how this affects Sacramento and how they do this. Because with that hanging over their heads, they had to figure out, you know, what is going on with Luke Walton? Does he continue to be your head coach? Those are things that's kind of crossing my mind right now.
Yeah, and then, you know, I'm not sure there has been a precedent set on this. I can't think of any other situation where an NBA head coach has faced this type of allegation. You know, does the league get involved? Does the league just let Sacramento handle it? I definitely feel like this is a thing that Adam Silver needs to be a part of, and I think that people will want to hear from him pretty soon on this.
Yeah, if it's the National Football League, you know that they do their own investigation. They do their due diligence. They find out the information, and then they are able to rule from there. Whether someone, a fan, or whether an organization feels it's fair or not, that's exactly kind of how the NFL's gone about things in the kind of wheel of justice that Goodell has had in the NFL. And again, some of that stuff has been questioned, I think, by you and I about the level of the type of the level of fines or suspensions that have been out there for in the NFL. But in the NBA with Silver, this is something different. So, again, we have to find out more information.
Yeah, and it looks like the NBA has said that they have opened an investigation of its own. So it'll be interesting to see what they find, how long it takes them to find it as well, because now this is something that everybody's going to keep an eye on. The clock's ticking, and every day it's going to be, you know, what have you done? What have you done to correct this? I'm coming up blank here. Has an NBA coach ever been in this situation before with allegations, you know, this heinous?
Not that I can recall. I don't think that I've never heard, not to a coach in, was it a sitting NBA coach? No, yeah. I've not heard that. No, not a sitting NBA coach. No, someone that actually has a job in place. And again, this is before the Sacramento job, as you mentioned, that he just took just recently. So we'll keep our eyes on that story. We're just coming off the Bucks. They complete a sweep against the Detroit Pistons. The combined point differential of plus 95 is tied for the second highest in a sweep in NBA history. Not only Emma Golden did the Bucks win, but they beat down
and beat down the Pistons.
Yes, they did. Yeah, they did. If I'm the, it's almost like the Bucks and the Celtics kind of had the same type of first round. You know, it wasn't a whole lot. That they had to face, but they'll face each other next round, and I that is must see TV for sure. There's no question about that. You're listening to Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. I'm Emmett Golden alongside Jonathan Hood. We're filling in for Freddie and Fitz. And again, you know, breaking news, there has been a sexual assault lawsuit filed against Kings' new coach, Luke Walton. Coming up next, we will hear from Dave McMenamin. He, has covered the Lakers this year, and he will give us the latest on the Luke Walton sexual assault accusations. That is coming up next. I'm Emmett Golden alongside Jonathan Hood. This is Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Stretch.
An auto policy from State Farm gets you collision coverage. And this radio ad from State Farm gets you coverage of this beloved 90s hit.
I hit a car. I hit a car. I hit a car.
For more coverage, visit statefarm.com.